What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. Happy New Year. This is Kevin Scarrett, and I am with Amy Zander. Amy, how are you this glorious 2021?
Yeah, I'm doing good. There's snow on the ground. I love winter weather. You know, all's quiet on the home front. Not much going out there, going on there in the world to talk about. So let's talk about brands instead.
That's right. It is January 7th. There was, a couple of things happening at our nation's capital yesterday. Not going to go there, but wow, it's a different day outside today than it was yesterday. So let's talk about brand.
Yep.
Okay, so we have some good things planned for this year. You know, it being a happy new year, and we, you know, when I continue the effort of keeping it that way, we're going to be finally releasing the book that's on the agenda. We are in conversations with a programmer to upgrade and automate our online word lists, and we're making connections left and right. So we got lots of good things in the hopper for our Brand Archetypes. How are you feeling about it?
I am feeling really good about it. I've been retooling Zedia Media a little bit to add more brand archetype marketing in there, because, you know, you and I have talked about how it's sometimes a struggle to find the time to market two separate companies. And I use Brand Archetypes all the time with my marketing company. And so we're kind of combining efforts there, and I'm going to be doing some videos about each archetype and writing more blogs. And I've got a great graphic artist on my team who's doing good things. So I'm excited too. I've followed my own advice, and I have a fully fleshed out 12-month content calendar with every single row and block filled in. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, I'm glad you're excited about that, because I have an interesting little twist for us today. Yes, we're going to be reviewing a brand, but Amy is going to go into this one blind. I'm going to have her watch a commercial or two. This is for a corporate brand. Not sure if you are even aware of them, Amy. But we're going to talk about it, get her reactions. Yes, she's going to feel a little under the gun, I think, right now. I don't know. Amy, how are you doing? Are you a little scared?
No, I'm good. I like commercials. I love talking about commercials. And so I'm excited to see what you have in store for me. I'm ready for this.
Okay. Because I have a feeling that, when the roles get reversed, things may not be so pleasant for me. But hey, we shall see.
You never know.
Okay, so here we go. The company that we're going to review today is the Hint Water Company, H-I-N-T. If you've never heard of this brand before, it's a brand of flavored water, kind of like LaCroix or Clearly Canadian. Glasso comes to mind. Spindrift, I found this was a new one. I'd never heard of them before, but they're flavored water. Amy, don't say anything now about past experience, but have you heard of Hint before?
I have. I've recently heard about Hint, and I am a lover of LaCroix and bubbly. I drink a lot of that. So I gave up pop many years ago. I don't drink that anymore. And then I also like to mix a little vodka in there once in a while too. So yes, I am a big lover of flavored water, and I have heard of Hint, but I have not actually tried it yet.
Interesting. Okay. And for those of you non-Michiganders out there, when Amy said pop, what she meant was soda. Okay. So
that's right.
That's a Michigander thing, I think. Okay. So let's go. We're going to edit this next section out just to allow Amy to actually see the commercial. the first one that I've selected. And for you listeners out there, go out to our January 7th podcast at brandarchetypes.com. Take a look at the show notes and the links to the videos. And if you're driving, don't try to watch the video until you're able to watch it safely, please. So let's go ahead and watch the video. Okay, we're back. That was video number one. And before I start asking you questions, Amy, let me point out that to our listeners that neither Amy nor I have ever contacted or discussed this issue with the team over at Hintwater. And we're pretty sure that they have not utilized archetypes in their branding, not all or even close to a majority of companies do. This is a pretty fresh and new thing, but we could be wrong on that point. It would be very interesting for them to reach out to us. So after looking at video number one, Amy, what did you think?
So I'm just going to explain the video real quick for those of you who are listening and haven't seen it yet. So there's a few people in a field, and they're sitting in a field, and then it starts raining. And then they start like tasting the raindrops, and they're like, oh, it tastes just like watermelon. It tastes just like watermelon. And they're all saying that, jumping around, drinking the rain. And then there's this like golden arm out of the sky that's like kind of like, I think, supposed to be the voice of God. And he's like, yes, it tastes like watermelon. That's basically the gist of the whole commercial. So
yeah, my impression, it was the cloud. It wasn't God. It was the actual cloud.
Okay.
Creating the water and also tasting the water, and he was having the exact same reactions as the other people.
Right. So, I liked it. It was cute. Ahead. It was really short. I mean, obviously, it hit home with as far as like it tastes like watermelon. I thought the one thing I didn't like about it, which is just my personal opinion, is that the arm coming out of the cloud is wearing some like weird gold, like fabric-y thing that I just thought was weird. Thought it was weird. Like,
like what?
But, yeah. But that's not really.
You mean compared to all the other arms sticking out of
yeah,
the cloud?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those are normally, those are normal.
Yeah, those are normal. Yeah.
Okay. No, but I just thought that weird goldy thing didn't go with the rest of it, but it had nothing to do with like the brand or the message or anything. That was my basic impression.
Okay. So $10,000 question, what archetype do you think they are?
Well, my initial reaction is the jester, because it's fun and funny and quirky, and it's got that light kind of jestery feel to it. That was my first impression. What do you think?
I had the same kind of impression, but kind of the inspiration for this whole episode of me asking you about it is because I actually changed my mind on it. After I finished watching the first and thought about it, and then saw a couple more videos just to kind of solidify my thinking about it, I actually switched over to the creator archetype. Their attempt at trying to create this scenario of these people standing in the field, it was really creative. It was quirky. It was kind of funny. I mean, it was not, I don't think it was intended to create a belly laugh, right? You know, where you're watching the commercial, those people standing out in the field, it was just hilarious. Right. No, not really. Right. But, to have a cloud talking while you're drinking the water that's coming out of the cloud, That's a really creative twist on a scenario where you are tasting the product, water.
Right.
So I thought that was very creative, and I wanted to confirm it, and just to see if I was indeed correct that maybe they were not true to any archetype, and that's where the next round of commercials that we're going to tap into. So let me ask, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being really poor and 10 being kind of awesome, how true do you think that they stuck to an archetype one way or another?
I think it's kind of split, because I do hear what you're saying about the creative part of it. It was pretty original and creative. I get it. It did have a funny element to it. Not saying that creative can't have a funny element to it, of course, but you're right. It wasn't like a belly laugh. So I think there was a couple of them in there. It was kind of split for me.
Yeah, yeah. So if it wasn't one or another, you know, definitively, like when you look at a Coca-Cola commercial, 99% of the time it's innocent. There's no question, right? And this one kind of, you can talk about it being split one way or the other. And that could be indicative of the nature of how some of the archetypes overlap. But more of a point, more of a question that's more important to me is, did they actually stay true to it, to an archetype, right? So what other archetypes might they be? Because, you know, we talked about jester. Mm-hmm. You know, could they be regular guy, you know, people hanging around and having a drink?
Yeah, but it's not as, I wouldn't originally pick that one because it's not as mild as the neighbors.
Right.
So I guess if you're at to your original question, scale of 1 to 10, true to an archetype, I'd have to say like 5.
Yeah, I'd go there. Middle of the road. I think it's a great commercial. I really do.
Yes.
And I think it is creative and I think it is funny. If we were to take a look at this commercial in the light of archetype branding, with the idea that it could be stronger, not necessarily better, but stronger from a brand perspective, then, you know, there might be some tweaks.
Right.
Necessary. So let's do this once more with two more commercials, and both of them from Hint. We're going to cut out for a little bit here to let Amy watch these commercials. And listeners, go ahead if you haven't already and watch the next two commercials.
Okay, I saw the next two and I have kind of changed my mind about how I feel about Hint. That was crazy.
We are back. So, the kind of the necessary question, did watching these next two change your mind about what archetype they are?
Yes, totally.
Okay, how so? Yeah,
well, when we... In our previous discussion before this, these next two, you know, we talked about if the archetypes were split, if they could be stronger. They definitely went stronger toward Jester, for sure.
I agree.
Yes.
I agree with you. Yeah. And so, but I still think there's a little bit of considerations here. Let me ask the next couple of questions here, and then we'll dive a little deeper into it. So, do you think the next two commercials... considering their quality and the consistency, how are you feeling about these two, you know, or better yet, the three as a whole, as opposed to just the first one all by itself?
Well, considering all three of them together, it's much easier for me to say they're definitely leaning towards Jester. The next two solidify that for me. However, I still agree with your original assessment that there's definitely a creative quality to it, the creator quality, in the sense that these are very unique. Right. I really haven't seen the same kind of message or the same kind of, and the second one is super sarcastic, which I love. And so that that was fun. So
I got to ask, were you kind of a little grossed out?
Oh, the third one, totally grossed out. My original, I was like, ew, that was
you're a mom.
That was my first reaction. So for our listeners who are, you know, haven't seen the videos, the second one, which I really loved, it's at a farmer's market. There's this couple standing there. They're eating the fruit and they're like, wow, this fruit tastes just like Hint water. Oh my gosh, how did you get this fruit to taste just like Hint water? And then this farmer lady goes into some long explanation about, you know, she's obviously making it up about the mechanics behind it. And then they're like, really? And she's like, no. And then they walk away. that was funny. And then the third one, though, that is, I mean, I love it on a brand creative way, but it's just gross. Like, so it's a pie eating contest. Okay. And it reminds me of the scene in Stand By Me of the like total.
Barf-a-rama.
Yeah. The total and complete Barf-a-rama scene. So there's a pie eating contest and these guys are like, their faces are covered in pie. And the guy puts his face up and he's like, huh, these berries don't even taste as fresh as the Hint Water blackberry water. And then the guy's like, well, let me see. The guy next to him, and he licks the guy's face. Like, he licks the berries off of his face.
To test
oh,
the
and I'm
the
like,
berries.
Ew.
Well, he yeah. had the berry, and the other guy had cherry pie, and so that was the...
Oh, okay, yeah, so it was two different...
To reverse test
two
it.
Two different... yeah, it was, like, yeah. literally licking your face. That's
well,
yeah.
okay, as a jester...
That's
know,
a good. It's
know.
Good.
That's a beautiful yes. thing. But as a mom...
Right, yeah.
you're going like, oh. to be grossed out.
yeah.
Oh, you don't know where that tongue is
right?
been. Oh, my God.
Right?
yeah, right. Okay, so... If you were to, well, okay, so let me comment. I felt the exact same way. I definitely felt like they were going more towards jester. But I also felt that the, if you were going to say that, and if they were actually literally, because they were basing things on archetypes, going for jester, I think that they are falling into a over-the-top quirkiness kind of humor. As opposed to, you know, the belly laugh kind of humor, it was still definitely not a traditional kind of humorous approach. It was a very kind of edgy, raw, contemporary kind of quirkiness. So nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. I think they did it beautifully. And they are definitely coming off more as jester, but still super creative in that all three of them had a completely different approach to the concept of people tasting water, comparing it to actual fruit.
Right. Yeah. Right. And if you think about too, like, I think Hint is they're a newer player to mm-hmm. the flavored yep. water game. So they've got to come out of the gate strong and make a big splash and grab people's attention. And also, you know, considering their audience and the types of people that drink flavored water, which kind of runs the gamut. You can't really, you know, it's right. not one particular person, but I think they probably hit the mark there, grabbing people's attention with those
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah. Making a splash, every tasty splash.
Right. There you go.
yeah. 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 Okay. So here's a tough one. If you could wave a magic wand and get the peeps over at Hint to make a change to their marketing with the idea that these changes that you suggest will improve things, what would you suggest?
Well, I'd suggest that they stay in the same vein and continue to work towards being truer to the wacky, crazy, unpredictable part of the jester, like you said, not the belly laugh part, but the, like, you know, unpredictable.
Over the top.
Funky. So that first one, the one with, like, it tastes like watermelon. I mean, that was like light compared to the third one. So I would definitely recommend that they keep going after that.
But still have this super creative
yes,
feel to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Different.
Another thing, they all felt like they were really brightly lit kind of outside, you know, kind of like a, did you ever see the TV show Pushing Daisies?
No.
It had this kind of, everything was kind of surrealistic, cartoonish.
Like Sesame Street?
You know, yeah, not, it's kind of like a otherworldly okay. kind of, you know, this is not the actual Earth.
Right.
You know, it's a little bit funkier and a little bit too many colors,
right.
and a little
trippy.
People are a little bit too funky. Yeah, a little trippy,
right.
yeah. It has that kind of
it
feel
did.
To
You're
it,
right.
but
that
in a
true.
Fun way.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
that was cool.
And, you know, here's a challenge that we face as brand strategists. And when people ask us, oh, well, you know, what do you think of the Sony brand? It forces us to think about our impressions. And sometimes those impressions are steeped in decades of interactions with that brand and dozens, if not hundreds, of commercials. But sometimes it's just there's nothing there to draw from. And you feel like you're basing an opinion about a brand or a brand strategy without a lot of input. In this case, Amy specifically only had one commercial to draw from, and which led to a discussion. And then when she got more input in the form of a second and third commercial, her opinion changed. And that happens. So if you are doing the same thing out there and you're evaluating brands and you're considering the approach that you should take with your own company, understand that you can't get a full picture of a corporate brand just by looking at a couple of things. But the more that you look and the more you consider and the more you analyze, the better of a feel you can get. And then in that process, there, and here's the beauty, in that process, you'll get a feel for people who are doing things well and people who are going off the rails and making mistakes. So kind of the point of analysis, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And if what you're doing in your marketing for your company, no matter what brand archetype you adopt, if people aren't coming away with some kind of like visceral emotion or some kind of feeling about it, it's just like, eh, okay, then you just got to step it up one way or the other. You know, you want want people to have some kind of reaction to what you're doing.
And there's the hard work of brand, right? If it was easy, everybody would be doing a kick butt job. But pretty obviously, that is not the case. And and so you see a lot of people struggle, and you see a lot of people do a not so great job at it. And you know, more lessons to be learned there.
Right.
Okay. So this was kind of fun and
it
awesome.
Was,
I'm glad
we
did it. Yeah. We should do it more often, although, like I said earlier, I'm a little concerned about what brand you might pick for me.
Well, I mean, you are the master, so I'll have to make it a little challenging for you. But, you know, I mean, it could be dog food, it could be feminine products, some alcohol in there. You're just going to have to wait and see, Kevin.
Hold on. If there's alcohol involved, is that during the evaluation process?
It's research and development, Kevin.
Oh, okay. Expenses.
Right, exactly.
Okay. I guess I'm going to have to wait and see. So until then, we probably won't do it next time, but put some thought into it. See what kind of...
Oh, I will. I'm already
you
thinking.
You want to zing me with.
That's all right.
Okay, give us a wrap up.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this fun, quirky version of our podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, as always, you can find us at brandarchetypes.com or any of the social media platforms at brandarchetypes. Contact us. Tell us about some crazy, wacky, cool brand that you love or something you're thinking about or an idea that you have. We always like to talk about this stuff. And we will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Amy.
Thanks, Kevin.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.